This audio description is for the exhibition Anna Louise Richardson, The Good, curated by Rachel Arndt and Dr. Leanne Hall. A Wagga Wagga Art Gallery, the Condensery and Museums and Galleries of New South Wales touring exhibition. I am the artist Anna Louise Richardson, and I will now provide descriptive and creative insight into the themes of the show and the works on display. The exhibition features a series of 14 large-scale drawings all hung on the walls. 12 of the artworks are drawn with charcoal on cement fiberboard shapes, cut out to the edges of the drawn object so that the artwork appears to float on the wall in the space. They are realistically rendered, black and white, tonal drawings, often larger than life. Two of the artworks are works on paper, drawn in graphite and displayed in white frames. The artworks I have made for The Good reflect my experience growing up and living on a working family farm. Within, I honour the humble objects we use every day, which embody the phrases, she'll be right and still good. They are my way of making sense of the passage of generational knowledge through objects. The works come from an environment where objects and expertise are rooted in one place, where the resources, groundwork and preparation are kept, but the instruction manual got eaten by a goat and the skills are still being learnt by the next generation. After the devastating death of my mother in 2020 and the severing of maternal knowledge, including her farming, veterinarian, and artistic skills, these artworks seek a radical optimism in finding our path forward as a family farm, learning from my father, who has been a farmer his whole life, and planning for an abundant future. When things look bad, how can we draw on memory and collective knowledge to find the positive and shine a light onto it? Next to each artwork, there is a label. The labels include the title of the artwork and an artwork description. I will now describe each artwork and read out the accompanying label, text in no particular order. Pillows. A stack of 9 square pillows are centered on the white page. The pillows differ in visual texture, thickness, and position. This work is graphite on paper and is 77 by 55 centimetres. After the loss of my mother in 2020 and the isolation of COVID-19, I began my search for the good, looking for comfort in the world around me. This work began with that motivation, an endless pile of soft cushions to fall into, support me, and cocoon within. Capeweed, a singular large flower with elliptical petals and a long stem, hangs on the wall on an angle that matches the elongated shadow to the left that is drawn as part of the work. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 182 by 115 centimetres. In spring, the farm turns yellow, especially round the houses and firebreaks, where daisies or capeweed flourish on the bare ground. A noxious weed that aggressively spreads, it is also beautiful, providing golden paddock backdrops in photos of the kids and the daisy chains we love to make and wear. Synonymous with many areas of the countryside in spring, these seasonal weeds polarise farming communities. They sometimes devastate crop yields, but also have a place, as most weeds do, in covering bare ground and providing dry fodder for grazing animals. The health risk capeweed poses when the only feed available must be controlled with grazing management in a healthy pasture ecosystem. Good egg. An egg with the appearance of a large central crack that has a fracture from the entire surface of the ovate form. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 50 by 37 centimetres. When we have to buy eggs from the shop, such as the fear of salmonella or contamination, we open the cardboard caskets to check if any eggs are cracked or seeping. At home, with our own chickens, things are different. If we drop or crack an egg when we are collecting them, it's still okay. We know the origin of the egg and its lifespan. We just crack it into a glass or box and put it into the fridge for later. Good egg is also a phrase I love and use regularly to describe people. Windfall. This work is of a very wrinkled oblong fruit with a stalk on top and an elongated shadow to its left. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 65 by 38 centimetres. The sweetest passion fruits are the wrinkly deep purple ones that we find lying on the ground in the chook pen, surrounded by chook poo. These ugly little nuggets are sliced open to reveal the perfect golden goodness inside. Top banana. A singular large banana in a horizontal U shape that is overripe in appearance. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 70 by 127 centimetres. Bananas either get eaten straight away in our house or languish on the bench until they turn into golden possibility. Pancakes, jumput jumput, which are fried banana balls or banana bread. Never judge a book or banana by its cover. Two shovels. A long straight-handled shovel with a rounded cutting edge stands tall at 212 by 30 centimetres beside a shorter square-edged shovel with a handle grip which is 138 by 28 centimetres. This work is two pieces, and both are charcoal on cement fiberboard. Shovels and spades hold the promise of work, dirt, and garden joy. During the warm months of the year, we prop two good shovels by the back door, and sometimes a pair of gumboots, all within easy reach for when unwelcome guests of the slithery kind come to visit. Right gumboot. A singular calf-high Blundstone brand safety gumboot with signs of wear and use in the mud. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 95 by 85 centimetres. When you become an adult on the farm, you have one size of gumboot for life. When it leaks, a mouse eats the toe or some other calamity befalls one of the pair, it is always only one. It must be replaced. The problem is that you have to buy gumboots in pairs. So the still good solo boot goes into the cupboard just in case next time the other boot wears out first. All the women in my family have the same size boots, so sometimes we get lucky and a generational pairing occurs. Stock pot. A tall cylindrical pot with a curved handle under the lip of the pot on either side. A flat lid sits atop the pot with a curved handle in the centre. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 90 by 114 centimetres. The stock pot is an object of magic. You put in what can be classed as waste. Carrot tops, veggie peelings, meatless bones, carcasses of roast chooks, all manner of things, all squirreled away in bags in the freezer until a critical mass is met and the witch's brew is concocted. Simmering away for hours, the pot yields jars and jars of stock. When depleted of all their goodness, the bones go into the compost to feed the garden. The stock pot makes circular magic for us and magic for the garden, which feeds back into the next stock pot. In some ways, making stock is a metaphor for farm life. Sometimes a pile of discarded objects is the secret ingredient for the task at hand. Carcass. The inside cross-section of a beef carcass torso is displayed on the wall vertically, so it appears to be hung from its hind leg. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 233 by 90 centimetres. We raise beef cattle on the farm, and for years we didn't eat our own meat. A fabled family story recalls the night my older sister was born when my parents were packing meat from a cow they butchered. I don't know why, but it was many years past until the next animal we raised was to be eaten. Now as adults living on the farm again, my sister and I highly value the cows as beautiful creatures, business and a delicious feast for our families. I have a rule that you can't eat an animal you've named. This work is about Sunday, the potty calf we raised for Dad that received a record price at the cattle sale. We exchanged Sunday for a smaller unnamed animal to eat from the herd. Fly swat. A large fly swat with a mesh square end and a long handle is hung high on the wall. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 48 by 170 centimetres. Flies are a mainstay of farming life. There are many kinds of flies that proliferate at different times of year, depending on if there are cows in the yards or around the house, or if there is rain and heat or food around. Most despised is the blowfly. On the farm, all the windows and doors have fly screens, and the refrain, "Shut the door," is common in our house, especially when city guests visit and courteously hold the door open. Cheap red and yellow plastic fly swats are an abiding memory from childhood. There was one in every room. At night, my sister and I were often awoken by a massive thwack from my parents' bedroom upstairs as they did away with a blowfly or mozzie with the trusty fly swat, a tradition I proudly continue with my kids today. This work explores the value of this inexpensive, environmentally unfriendly item used for killing things which have a place and a value in the wider ecosystem. Without flies, there would be so much poo and no food for the birds and lizards that eat them. But on the other hand, flies spread diseases, maggots, drive herds mad with biting, and are a complete nuisance. Container. The front side of a shipping container that is rusted and weathered with both the Latin alphabet and Chinese characters are on the upper right-hand side, an evidence of signs and stickers that have worn away in multiple areas. The container is closed, revealing the entire front surface, including four large vertical locks. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 228 by 240 centimetres. Most of the farms in our area have old shipping containers, variously functioning as kind of rural garage for storing furniture, household goods, spare floorboards, books, old beds, camping gear, farm supplies, and things that might be useful or important that don't belong in the workshop. My family is the seventh generation on the same property, and every household has their own container. To me, they represent a holding space for generational knowledge. Everything put in there must have been important, even if I no longer have the key to understanding why or what an item is for. They are also space for infinite possibility. If we need something, my first port of call is to look in the container. I am always optimistic I will find exactly what I need in the container, especially if I have seen something once or have a memory of it. It must still be here. Tyres. Three patterned, textured, cylindrical four-wheel drive tyres stand in a neat stack. This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 99 by 85 centimetres. We have a collection of old tyres on the farm, which have been salvaged from old farm cars which are no longer fixable, but are kept for possible parts they might provide in an endless loop of second-hand runabouts that all come with their own tyres. So the tyre pile grows, with an occasional bald tyre put in service to protect our fruit trees from the chooks. 44-gallon drum. A large cylindrical steel drum with signs of use and wear. The drum has three distinct sections in its design and a label that has a series of numbers and the phrase, "Stow away from food stuff." This work is charcoal on cement fiberboard and is 100 by 60 centimetres. The steel 44-gallon drum is a staple of rural life, waterproof, sturdy, and endlessly useful for stock feed, horse tack, and other storage. A mini shipping container in some way. What the drum once transported, its origin, purpose, or the danger it presents is no longer known or decipherable from the markings on the drum. On the farm, they are completely rewritten into a new life. Sprout. A long tuber lies horizontally at the bottom of the page, with thick sprouting growths along the vegetable and in small clusters on the left-hand side, shooting up vertically and covered with small leaves. This work is graphite on paper and is 152 by 101 centimetres. The forgotten potato at the back of the cupboard works its quiet magic. Rather than rotting along with the lost onion, it makes the most of its situation and sprouts ready for new life. Seed potato or not, I will chance my luck and plant it. This brings us to the end of this audio description. The project was made possible by the Australian Government's Regional Arts Fund, which supports the arts in regional and remote Australia, and the Government of Western Australia through the Department Culture and the Arts, WA. This project has been assisted by the Australian Government through the Australia Council for the Arts, its Arts Funding and Advisory Body.